Full reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 21, and it can be found on page 1028. So hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Father God, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to worship and to listen again. Listen with our hearts as well as our ears to what you want to tell us beyond the tinsel of what this season means, what the coming of Jesus means for us. We ask it in his name. Amen. Our son's godfather has a favorite phrase when he's completed a task to his satisfaction. Job's a good one. Now this is actually the very last service at Holy Trinity in the year, nay, the decade. And when we meet again, we shall be in a new year, stroke, decade. So it's at this time of year when there's all sorts of reviews going on and we're looking back as well as looking forward. I want to be positive this morning and think a little bit about the year coming to a close and ask you, Mrs., to think about something that you've accomplished, something that you've achieved or completed that's given you satisfaction in the last 12 months. Maybe even a little bit of pride inside, of course, of the right sort. It could be that at long last you've finished the bathroom tiling. It could be that you've sorted out your finances. It could be that you've swum a whole length of the baths and got a big certificate for it. I've still got mine. That wasn't this year. Don't think it was. It wasn't this decade. It wasn't this century, actually. I think about it. Maybe you've passed your GCSEs or gained a first in contemporary hieroglyphics or knitted a 38-colour sweater for somebody very special. I don't know what it is. Let's see if anybody's got any achievement or something that they could say, jobs are good. Anybody? Oh, I can always rely on the Spencers. It's good. It's good. Go on, what have you achieved here?
I gained my wood badge in scouting.
You gained his wood badge in scouting. Right. Well, we can all sort of guess. Is it to do with lighting fires? And
I'm now a leader.
You're a leader?
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh. Genuflect. Right. Very good. Very good indeed. Anybody else? I bet nobody can match that, can they? Huh? Hello, Babs.
I was pleased to become the Community Connections Coordinator
yes.
at this church, and between myself and our team, we've done quite a lot of things this last year, which I'm very pleased about.
So are we. Excellent. Wonderful. Anybody else? Might be something like that. Well, I can say one. I've lost a stone and a half this year. That was as... Thank you. Take it all. That was, I have to say, as recorded on Christmas Eve. Anything else that you're prepared to go public with? Okay. I did ask that all social media should be confiscated at the door, but I don't know whether that was carried out. No? Okay. Well, you've got your own, and I'm sure you're there. Oh, if I was a bit less nervous, I'd say. But we've all got our own little sort of moments of satisfaction, or of saying, yes, that was great. That was wonderful. That job was indeed a good one. Jobs are good could well be an alternative title for the Song of Simeon, as we heard read in Luke 2. Though it wouldn't look quite so good, Jobs are good by Herbert Howells or whatever, you know, on the order of service of a cathedral choral in Evensong. they tend to go for nunc dimittis. But it's the Song of Simeon. And actually, as the slide says, it's the last of our five prayers for Advent. I know, purists, that we're out of Advent. We're into the Christmas season, but, you know, our Reverend Father in God said we have to complete the series. And I'm gladly doing so today. And with this stunning hymn, which the church has used down the centuries. And of course, it's context. And that's most important. If you know me at all, you know that context is what I really go for. These verses. Like Zechariah and Elizabeth, you recall, were part of the faithful Jewish remnant who for a long time had earnestly looked for their Messiah. I know the whole nation really had sort of was in that sort of expectancy of earnest hope for a Messiah to come and rid them of all the evils of their world, not least the Romans, but all sorts of other people as well. But these people, like Simeon and Zechariah, didn't long for the Messiah with dreams of power and avenging violence, but through constant prayer and watchfulness. William Barclay tells us that they were known as the quiet in the land, waiting quietly and patiently upon God. In the verses that some know as the Nunc Dimittis, and beforehand, we're told about Simeon that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel refers to that messianic hope. A traditional Jewish prayer was, "May I see the consolation of Israel," probably prayed by Simeon every day of his life. And that prayer was answered for him when he saw the baby Jesus in the temple, brought there for the ceremony of purification and the consecration of the firstborn male. And this happened 40 days after the birth. Now, we started our reading this morning in Luke 2 on the eighth day with the circumcision of Jesus. Okay? But this we'll have to fast forward another 32 days or whatever it is to this point where, again, Mary and Joseph made their way to the temple in Jerusalem. And of course, there they met, or he met them, Simeon, by the word of God, and obedient to the will of God. And to his great joy, he was privileged to see the salvation of God. And he saw it in that little bundle of, by this time, no doubt, you know, quite noisy beauty in Jesus, the infant Jesus. He saw it as a life and a purpose completed. It's interesting to note that here again, as John and Mike were noting at our Christmas services, God is pleased, again, to reveal his wonderful works to ordinary folk. Folk who are open to receive spiritually, but essentially ordinary folk. And that's true throughout Old and New Testament. Very often, God it is who reveals to the ordinary bloke or girl. So here is, as I say, the final of these prayers for Advent. Or you could say the hymns embedded in Luke's account, this early part of his account. Simeon's response to seeing Jesus. As I've intimated, musicians and liturgists, of course, do know it as the Nunc Dimittis, one of the great hymns of the church. Let's have a look at it. Here's NIV's version. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. So, what sort of hymn, what sort of song is it? We could say it is a worship song. Certainly Simeon was wanting to praise and glorify his God, the God who kept his promise so wonderfully. He blesses God for keeping his promise and sending the Messiah. No doubt about that. Of course, he was informed of that by the Spirit, we're told. And Simeon joyfully praises God that he's been privileged to see the Lord's Christ. We can also understand it as a salvation song. My eyes have seen your salvation, verse 30. This is the job's a good one bit. It's happened. It's there. In verse 29, the word depart, I think unfortunately translated dismiss in NIV, let your servant depart in peace, has lots of meanings in Greek, lots of usages in New Testament Greek, which perhaps we can learn from. The commentator Warren Wiersbe thinks we can learn much about the Christian idea of death and our destiny, our final destiny, from the uses of this one word. It means, this word meaning depart or dismiss, it means to release a prisoner, set loose from bondage. It means, or can mean, to untie a ship moored on the quay and set sail. It can mean to take down a tent or a temporary shelter. Ian would say, strike a tent, no doubt. If you look at Paul talking about likening our present earthly existence to life in a tent, and that this isn't really where we belong, but we've got far greater things in store. That's 2 Corinthians 5, first few verses. It can mean, same word, to unyoke a beast of burden. And I immediately thought of our Lord's words, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Perhaps we normally associate that with living now, you know, as folk of faith in a naughty world. But here, perhaps, is a thought of the future. We can imitate Simeon's peaceful confidence about the future by believing and trusting in the Saviour there before him in Mary's arms, whose coming among us is specifically and purposefully to deal with the fearfulness and finality of death, its grip and hold and absurdity and just plain wrongness. That's what Jesus came for, and to deal with it forever. So even now, these few days after the birth of the child, we have this hint in Scripture of what this is going to happen through him. But Simeon's song has yet more joy, something perhaps unusual, or certainly for a devout Jew standing there praying in the temple. It's a missionary song. He sees this great salvation going out to the Gentiles. Jesus will restore the glory to Israel, but he will also bring light to everyone else so that all people can be saved. An echo of the message of the angelic host to those ordinary folk in the fields, the shepherds. This is good news for everyone. We're all invited to partake in God's salvation. Job's a good one. Job's a real good one. Now, something else is going on just in the corner, you know, corner of the eye in another part of the temple. There's a little lady, I say little, she might have been very tall, but she's certainly elderly, coming across, seeing what's going on. Probably knew Simeon because they'd know each other from being in the temple day after day. She was also one of these prayers, these quiet of the land, these watchful people. And she came across and so became, in a sense, part of this song of Simeon in the temple. By the way, Anna, rather beautifully, means grace. Here is God's grace moving amongst them. So she joined in with the song in the temple, and we're told outside it spread the word about the Christ child. She didn't keep it to herself. She shared it with those in the temple, courtyards, and beyond in the city, no doubt. Perhaps the quiet of the land became the proclaimers in the land. As for Simeon himself, he went on to say some more things to Mary and Joseph. Words that were prophetic. And he used, in these hard words, three significant biblical images. Now, if I was more of a whiz kid with the screens, we'd have maybe pictures of the stone, sword, and a sign. The Messiah would be, we're told in Scripture, a rejected cornerstone, building stone. Psalm 118, verse 22. The nation of Israel, Isaiah says, would stumble over that very stone. Because of Jesus, Simeon says in his prophecy, many in Israel would fall. But we don't quite know what the circumstances are, quite what his meaning is. Many commentators think fall in conviction, you know, fall on his knees, or their knees, as it were, in a recognition that they needed God's help. And then rise, it's a vivid picture, isn't it? And then rise in acceptance or awareness of salvation. Falling and rising. There is the continuing sense that Jesus Christ is the touchstone that exposes what people are really like. What do you think of Christ? Our Lord's own words to his disciples, as recorded in Matthew's Gospel. What do you think of Christ is still the most important question for anybody to answer. Sign, of course, that's the second image. Sign, a sign is means of revelation of God's purposes. Very often, the miracles which come thick and fast in John's Gospel are called the signs, the Jesus' signs. Signs revealing special truths about him. Of course, if there are to appreciate and receive them. And indeed, Jesus says elsewhere, that's the purpose of his parables and his teaching. It's veiled to some, but crystal clear to others. And others need a bit of help, including me, possibly you. Signs. This child in Mary's arms would be the greatest of the signs that God is doing something to change the course of human history. Now, the image of the sword was for Mary personally. And it spoke of the suffering and sorrow she would bear as the mother of this special child. Even to the cross, where she would see him suffer and die for the sins of the whole world. Of course, this poignant, these words are about a mother's love. Come what may. Whatever happens, she's there for him. But also about her unshakable devotion, not just to her son, but also to her, who given her this task, the God who'd included her in his great plan, the God who delivers his promises. So, joy, sorrow, and final victory of salvation. Here is the song of Simeon, the witness and the action of Anna. Job's a good one. Amen.